Make a better connection with your friends on Facebook. Use the hottest voice conferencing service around. Call from TalkShoe.com. That's Talk, like I'm doing now, and Shoe, as on your feet.com.
Recorded live.
Hello, everybody, once again. Welcome to episode 18 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, May 30th, 2008. I am your host, Jeffro. I am the webmaster of Jeffro2pt0.com, as well as a contributing writer for weblogtoolscollection.com. If you would like to participate in today's show, you can either voice your opinion through the TalkShoe web client, or you can use Skype out, a landline, or a cell phone and dial 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID number is 34224. You don't need a TalkShoe account to participate. And for tonight's show, it's pretty much going to be a free-for-all. I've got a number of people who've joined me tonight, thank God. And just going to go down the list here and introduce everybody, and I'll start off by saying hello to Mr. Josh Budd. Josh, how are you doing this evening? Oh, no. Josh, are you there? Oh, boy, what a way to start off the show. So, oh, there you are. Josh, what's going on?
Nothing much. I just had my mic muted through Xlite.
All right. Well, if you got anything you'd like to say in regards to WordPress or the topics we go over tonight, don't hesitate to jump right in, all right?
Okay.
And all the way from Australia, the land way, way down under, very far down under, is Ryan McHugh. Ryan, what's going on? Let's see if you've got your audio problems fixed.
Hey, Jeff. I think I've got it working.
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear this evening. I believe you're using Xlite now.
Yeah, I am, which is a bit of an improvement over the TalkShoe client.
Yeah, I'll say it. You're coming in loud and clear. None of that garbled, you know, matrix text that we're always making fun of you about. But, yeah, you're coming in nice, and nice to have you on the show. And we have Ryan Hellyer. Hellyer. I messed that up, but he's from HellYeahDude.com. And, Ryan, what's been going on lately?
Pixopoint.com, I'm from.
Oh, okay, Pixopoint.com. Sorry about that.
That's right.
But
lately I've been trying to... I think we have a delay here.
Just a little bit, but I noticed, you know, in my email you announced the launch of a product or service. I was wondering if you kind of go over that real quick for us.
Yeah, sure. I have a plugin which I've been looking after for a while now, the Suckerfish drop-down menus plugin. And the deal is you install the plugin, and after you've installed it, you go over to my site, pixopoint.com, and you can grab the CSS for your drop-down menu so you can style it and change the look of it and so forth. And recently I've released a premium version of it, which not only does drop-downs, but vertical fly-out menus and horizontal slider menus as well. So if anybody on the show today is interested in trying it out, you can just head over to pixopoint.com, register for my forum, and I'll sort out free access for anybody on the show that's interested in trying it.
Cool beans. Yeah, I'm seeing that the cost normally is around $50 a month, but depending on the popularity, the price is willing to be changed. So is there anything, when they sign up for your forums, is there anything they should say or inform you to let you know that they listen to the show?
Anybody that signs up in the next hour, I'll just give instant access to it.
Okay, and
if any WordPress weekly people sign up, they're just going to get a lucky access to it for free.
Okay, so it sounds great. And if you could put a link to that website where we can sign up there in the chat room, I'm sure we'll be able to
I'll
take advantage
now of
that. Okay, thanks. And from Alabama, we've got Ronald Rica, who recently just released Ajax Edit Comments 2.0. Ronald, what's going on?
Hello, I'm sorry I don't have an accent, but I can try my best.
No need to bother. But
all right.
So,
yeah.
you just recently released version 2 of your popular Ajax Edit Comments plugin, and you know, I actually, as we speak, there's a somewhat of a review on weblogtoolscollection.com on the front page right now, and you've redesigned the plugin. In fact, I think you've rewrote it from the ground up. Can you give us a little heads up as to what you've been able to accomplish with this new version?
Well, I was originally looking for a co-author for the plugin, but I decided just to kind of rewrite it from the ground up. It's almost like moving into a different house, and you have to decide what to bring in from your old pad, so to speak. And that's what I did. So when I wrote Ajax Edit Comments and WordPress 2.5, made it possible to do a lot of the fancy kind of pop-up window type stuff. So I said, you know what, I want to make the editing interface completely theme independent, and I also want to make it user-friendly at the same time. And I thought that using the pop-up window that WordPress 2.5 comes included with, it's just a perfect marriage. So that's what I did.
Yeah, and I've noticed that, you know, in the old version, you used to be able to double-click on the comment area and, you know, edit text in line. I believe it doesn't work like that anymore. You actually have to push an edit button, and, you know, you've kind of redesigned the interface there. And can you kind of give us a little insight as to the interface design changes, as if we're used to, you know, for those used to using version 1 of your plugin?
Yeah, sure. Before, you would have to click on two different areas in order to edit a comment, like the author part was editable as well as the original comment. And a lot of people, as far as admins, because this is really an admin tool, a lot of admins would email me and say, you know, this is annoying. How do you turn that off? I want to be able to click through on a link. And also, there were some plugins came out that called Comment Love, and there's a new one out that's called Keyword Love. And both of those were incompatible with the way I was having the authors read out when you clicked on the interface. So what I did was have a standalone edit link. If you wanted to edit the comment, you click on the edit button, and that pulls up the entire comment. It pulls up the name, pulls up the email address, pulls up the URL in the comment. And it's actually, that way it's more theme independent, and it's also more compatible with a bunch of different plugins. So that was my rationale behind doing that. So that people who were used to, you know, clicking on, I guess, URLs in the comments to follow through on commenters, they wouldn't be too inconvenient. So there's no longer that inline editing.
Yeah, and I must say I recently upgraded automatically through the plugin back end there. And so far, so good. I mean, I like the interface. I like the buttons, the links. And I actually prefer this new version way over the first version. So
that's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, and actually, I appreciate your release cycle. Can you kind of explain to us what you did before you actually released the plugin to the public? I mean, you had basically, you followed a release cycle that was reminiscent of, you know, the core of WordPress with release candidates, beta testing, and whatnot.
Well, the plugin on WordPress Extend has been downloaded over 26,000 times, so I didn't want to just put out something where all of a sudden people just woke up and say, oh, wow, there's a new update. Let's go ahead and put it on, and then all of a sudden everything breaks. So what I did was I Twittered it. I put it on raproject.com, and I said, hey, I'm releasing an update. Do you guys want to help test it out? And about 10 or so testers volunteered for it. Yeah, thank you, Ryan. 10 or so testers volunteered to test out the plugin. And I put out a first beta, and I discovered a lot of bugs just from people coming back to me and saying, hey, this isn't working. Actually, can you do this and make this interface like that? And feature suggestions. So I started adding those in. I released a second beta, and the same thing happened. And the third beta finally, and then I released a release candidate. And that was something, when I released a release candidate, that's something I expect people to maybe, if they're gutsy, try on a live blog. And some people did, and they came back and they said, you know what, this is not working great. So then I put out a second RC. And finally, after I received no feedback at all on the RC2, that's when I'm like, okay, it's time for a final release. so I just push it out.
Yeah, and so far so good. It's been working really well. And from what you've told me, have you developed the plugin so that if the WordPress core developers, you know, if there's enough push for it, that it would be easily to integrate your plugin into the core?
It would actually be quite easy. All they would basically have to do is copy the code over. I'm using the six box JS file that's included in the admin panel. I'm using that. I'm also using the AJAX response. I'm using pretty much all the core JS files. I really don't know if editing comments is something that the WordPress team wants to have, because obviously they probably could have done it before, but they haven't yet. So who knows?
Yeah, and it's a shame, too, because there's nothing more frustrating than going to a blog, a WordPress-powered site, leaving a comment, finding out you left a typo or two in there, and there's no way to edit your comment. And it's, you know, I find that to be a little ridiculous, and it'd be nice if, you know, just all across the blogosphere with the WordPress-powered sites, if, you know, the ability to edit comments, even if they were left by anonymous people, you know, it'd be nice to have that edit feature built in.
Yeah, Matt said that, you know, the more AJAX, the better. That's what he said last week. But as far as editing comments, the only way I can see it possibly happening is if it's an admin-only feature. That's the only way I can see it happening.
Yeah, you might be right. So, with that being said, you know, be sure to go to www.weblawtoolscollection.com, and there's an article right there on the front page which kind of goes over what's new in AJAX Edit Comments 2.0. And up next is someone who we haven't seen or heard from in quite a while, but it's Patricia Mayo. What's going on? Oh, no. I think she muted herself, too. She might have walked away. She might be getting ice cream or something. So I'll put her on hold really quick. And we'll go to Mr. Jacob Santos. Jacob, what's been happening lately?
Not much, which is sort of a problem.
So I heard you were in Missouri. You're back in Missouri. Where are you at right now?
I've always been in Missouri.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm a little tipsy turvy tonight, so don't mind me. Maybe later on in the show, maybe you can dive into the topic if we have time, because I thought it was you've gotten quite the response on the hackers mailing list, but you've had quite the discussion on there about inline documentation and how you felt how it might be a failure, or it's going to be a failure. And I think you've gotten a lot of support from the from devs or people who have worked on the WordPress code, that what your work so far has not been a failure. It's been very much appreciated.
Well, it's been appreciated because I received the email like back in October, November of last year, and the person thanked me for writing the documentation, the inline documentation for a taxonomy.php. Which I thought was cool. I was like, hey, someone's appreciating me and all that time I spent, the many, many hours that it took to write. And, well, I need to go back and update that file because, there's the inline documentation in a few of the files, a taxonomy.php included, and also pluggables.php and post.php. You shouldn't use the inline documentation because some of the comments in there are inaccurate, which is a problem because normally you see inline documentation as the authority, even more so than at the codex. And so when you have inaccurate inline documentation, it becomes an issue because what does the reader, how do they view that? Do they view the code as a bug? And do they write, hey, this the code in this function does not match the documentation, it should be fixed. No, the documentation should be fixed. Because it's supposed to reflect what the code says. So, not really, the only authority is what the code says.
Now, this inline documentation, why is it such a big issue? You know, I'm an end user. I don't really dive into the code that much or behind the scenes. But why is this inline documentation and the lack of it or the need of it such a big issue?
It's a big issue because it takes longer. Because I can read code, but other people don't know as much PHP as I do. I can look through code and say, okay, this does this, and then I can go to the next line and say, okay, I can go to a function and realize what the function is trying to do and follow the path and figure a function out a lot quicker than someone who doesn't have as many years as coding, programming and coding in PHP would. And for me personally, when I first started got into writing plugins for WordPress, I would look into the code and see no documentation whatsoever. The functions.php is a good example. There's a lot of functions that you need to use when you're writing a plugin or in a theme, but there's no documentation. And the cron files don't have documentation, and that code in there is pretty hardcore. And so even I had difficulty realizing what needed to be done, and the only way I was able to find out was going onto blogs and searching for like an hour or two. But that shouldn't be the case. I should be able to look at the codex first. If it's not on there, I should be able to look at the code, the inline documentation, and say, okay, this code does this, and this is what I need to do. The reason why you want to use the codex first is because the codex is in English. I can read it, you can read it, anybody can read it, and it can have more examples that won't be put in to the inline documentation. The inline documentation just tells you an overview of the code, what it does, and what it can do. It doesn't tell you specifically how to use it, which is what developers and coders really need. It's fine to know what a function does, but if you don't know how to use it, if it's something as complex or convoluted as cron.php, the code in there, you might think it might work one way, but it actually works another way. If you had examples, like in the codex, it would help you actually understand more about what the cron and how to use and develop plugins around cron.php.
Well, Ronald here in the chat room says he'd be able to give me an example as you've helped him out during the day-to-day. So, Ronald, go ahead and give us that example.
Well, I wrote a post recently. A reader wrote in a question about how to remove the list from the image in the media uploader. And so I had to go into the media.php file and look to see how to use a undocumented filter called image_downsize. And it's kind of like what Jacob was talking about. There's no documentation whatsoever. And if you go look into the code, there's absolutely zero documentation on how to use this filter. So you kind of have to guess through trial and error. Like, okay, I guess it takes three arguments and returns this, but I'm not 100% sure what it returns. So,
well,
yeah. Oh, go ahead.
For that filter, all you needed to do was you can hook into it with the last parameter, one, and it would pass you just one parameter. You don't really need. Well, you probably should, because if you just like want to accept one parameter, I don't think it will actually run your hook. Well, okay, you have four parameters in your hook function. You only need to use the first one, and then you can parse. You can search and replace the HTML, because the first parameter is going to have the HTML of that filter, which is what you really need. And then if you wanted to change it, you could take, you could basically build the class name and then do a string underscore replace to look and change the class name in that filter, in that HTML IMG element to change
the
name.
Jacob, the point of filters is so you don't have to do that.
No,
str replace or the regex or anything like that. That's what the point of a filter is.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, you can still do what you wanted to do. It just took a lot more work.
You have to basically hack more. So, yeah, okay.
But yeah, the new filter, which is a patch that I added, would like do exactly what you wanted. It would just be, okay, return this class name, and then it would do exactly what you want. It's a lot easier.
Not everybody knows how to do regex. Not everybody knows how to do the HR replace, unfortunately. I mean, I wish everybody knew that stuff, but they don't. So that's just my situation.
You don't even have to do regex. It's just string replace, and you just build the class, the whole HTML. It doesn't take a very good question. But that's beside the point. Okay. No one understands what we're saying.
Well, yeah. Oh, I was gonna make a joke, but I've decided not to. But
come on, Jeff, make the joke.
No. I was gonna need inline documentation to figure out what the heck you two were talking about. But I introduced her a little bit earlier, and she stepped away. Let's see if she's back now. Patricia May, are you there?
I didn't step away. Just Skype decided it didn't like me, and it wanted to shut me up.
Oh, it's okay. Skype is it's not selective. It really doesn't like a lot of people, from what I've heard.
Apparently. But, yeah, I've lately – this is probably going to surprise you. Now, before, I was a totally non-developer type of person, right? I've started learning PHP, and only that, I've started learning PHP on WordPress. So I'm actually hacking things and going through the codecs and learning stuff and, making major modifications to stuff that isn't just, copy and paste.
you want to stay away from hacking the core and just try to, as much as possible, build plugins.
Well, yeah, I'm not touching the core at all. I'm just touching, sidebar.php or, things like that. I'm just touching the PHP files. I'm not touching the core. Every now and then I have to fiddle with a plugin because I get this weird error where headers have already been defined, and I have to figure out which line is doing that thing and take that out. Oh, geez.
Don't. I know you're looking at the chat, folks. We're not even going to dive into what the chat room's saying here. But let's just say the show is filled with a bunch of males who are supposedly over the age of 20 and sometimes.
Right.
But Patricia, it's nice to have you back on the show. It's been a while since you've been on the air.
Yeah, I've been busy doing a book launch and all kinds of fun stuff, dealing with clients, and yay.
So that pretty much rounds up our guests for today. I mean, we've got Nathan Rice dialed in, Josh Budd, Patan Dunbar is here in the chat room, Nick M., Charles Strickland, James Mowry of Performancing.com. Thank you guys for stopping by and being part of the show tonight, and I wanted to launch into our first story here, even though we're 25 minutes into the show. But we came across this post on digital inspiration, and I linked to it in the chat room. I'll throw it in there again. But it was basically an article that went over Google Gears and WordPress 2.6, not about offline blogging. Anyone remembered last week, I had Matt Mullenweg on, and we briefly touched on the subject of WordPress 2.6 having support for Google Gears. And I think a lot of people have misinterpreted what that's really going to allow. Some folks have been discussing the fact that the support for Google Gear is going to allow offline blogging and synchronization, but in fact, it's not really going to work that way. As a quote from Digital Inspiration, they say, with Google Gears, WordPress will store all of these static files, such as, you know, JavaScript libraries, CSS files that are in the background, on your local hard drive and will not download them from the web server each time you perform some action in your WordPress admin interface. Thus, it should speed things up, especially if you're on a slow connection. You'll be able to do some things, I guess, more along the lines of moderating or administration offline, you know, through Google Gears, but you won't be able to blog offline. And I'll, if anybody's got any comments as far as Google Gears or some clarification on that, go right ahead and jump in.
I would love to be able to blog offline. Like, what do you guys currently use to blog offline?
I know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't blog offline, but if I were to blog offline, I would probably throw WordPress on a USB stick or install a local version of WordPress through, something like WAMP server, you know, installing a server and all that stuff on a, you know, creating my own local web server, throwing WordPress on there, and then using the right panel on the local server install, you know, because then I can actually save my post in there. I mean, it really, though, it seems to be more of a hassle than whatnot. I mean, I think the majority of people use Windows Live Writer or, you know, Notepad. Sometimes I'll even save my posts in OpenOffice. But, you know, I just like the fact to go in there using a visual text editor that's in WordPress and have my post all formatted and ready and, you know, just hit that publish button. But as far as I'm concerned, I've never been presented with that opportunity yet to actually have to blog offline.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be on an airplane here in a couple of days. So, I mean, being able to blog offline would be, you know, pretty freaking fantastic. I thought about Windows Live Writer, but for some reason it doesn't want to connect to WordPress for me. It doesn't like me, much like Skype.
You should smack it around a little bit.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah, so the Google Gears, it sounds like it'll make administration tasks faster, as some of the things won't need to be loaded constantly, and you can work in a offline environment. You just won't be able to publish things and do something like offline blogging. So that's just to kind of clear up the confusion there in terms of Google Gear support coming into WordPress 2.6. And on to our next article. I know Ronald will be able to speak on this because he recently published an article about how to remove the width and height from the image uploader. And, you know, at a glance, I have no idea why somebody would want to do this, because usually that information makes loading the browser it's a little faster to load the browser and load the images because it has the exact image height and width requirements. But, Ronald, maybe you can dive into why you wrote this article and, kind of tell us, is there really a need for this?
Well, I mean, personally, a reader asks a question, and it's not really me to decide whether the reader is full of crap or not. So I decided to investigate and check it out to see if it could be done, and I saw that it could. So I went ahead and wrote a post about it. And really, I mean, a lot of the comments on the post are saying, well, this is a bad practice. Well, I'm not a standards expert, so I'm not the one to judge what's a bad practice, what's a good practice. However, I will say, for those that probably looked at the code and looked at the filter that you can use, they probably might have learned something. So posting about it, I think, was beneficial overall, and there was actually some people who found it very useful. So that's my rationale behind it.
Yeah, you know, and as far as I'm concerned, when I'm using the image uploader, I am very appreciative to the fact that the uploader automatically puts in the width and height of the image so that I don't have to find that out beforehand, because that would just be another step into which, you know, I wouldn't want to go through. So I'm actually appreciative that it's in there, but I guess it's good for, you know, some people in there who actually have a need for this, no matter who those people might be.
Yeah,
you know,
even Andrew
Rickman, who isn't called in, actually said, this is so necessary. Thanks, Ronald. I will get the plug in later. So I guess Andrew had a need for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure why people wanted it, but someone asked me for it. I was able to provide it, so that's why I wrote the post. If you know how
to remove the width and height, then you can figure out how to change the width and the height.
That's correct. So, people found it useful. I personally use width and height in my images. Not because I think it's the best practice, but just because that's the way my editor works. So, I don't know.
I think Ryan Hellier had something to say about that.
Some people may be wanting to specify their width and their heights in their CSS file instead of in the HTML.
Yeah, that was one of the arguments brought up in the article. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it could be very debated, and I think it brought up a point that was beyond the article in question.
Well, if you use the strict CSS, you have to specify the width and the height in the CSS?
Well, what I think was happening is because somebody wrote me an email saying, hey, how do you remove the width and height from the image uploader? Because the default editor is breaking scenes. So I want to specify in CSS. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll figure out how to do it. Now, is it up to me to decide whether it's a good practice or not? No, but everybody is different, and everybody has a different application to a, you know, specific technique. Whether it's good or bad, I don't know if it really matters as long as you get the job done. So that's my opinion.
And I think some things were brought up as far as image classes and removing them from every image. Can you kind of dive into what that was all about?
Well, one of the things I found out after posting the post was people said, well, you know, removing the width and height is good, but I want to also remove the classes too. So I listened to code, and there wasn't a intuitive way to remove the classes from the image. Which Jacob kind of hit on a little bit, where I said, well, you can do an str replace, you can do a regex to remove it. And I said, well, you know, that's what filters are supposed to be there for. They're supposed to remove the need for doing those things. So Jacob helped me get a change into the WordPress track that will add that filter in.
I should note that the core team is a little iffy on adding filters because it kind of, if they added a filter for everything, it would take like hour. Well, it wouldn't take an hour, but it would take like a minute to load everything, and that's just the filters. You don't want too many filters in the WordPress core because it would bog down. It would be overhead.
So it turns out that you've gotten some response from the article. There was some demand for that. You've written the article, and a number of people have thanked you for it. And I just, you know, at first glance, I didn't understand why someone would want to do that. But I guess, you know, in some situations, doing something like this was necessary. But I wanted to move on to our next story I came across, and it was on bloggingtips.com. I've linked to here in the chat room. And Kevin Muldoon of bloggingtips.com recently posted an article that kind of went over the little look into how WordPress handles user roles. There's a little, you know, WordPress summarizes each role, and that administrator is somebody who has access to all of the administration features, an editor, somebody who can publish posts, manage posts, as well as manage other people's posts. Then you have your author, contributor, subscriber. Then you have something called the capability versus role table, which can be found in the codex. And that's an image which kind of highlights the various roles that come with the capabilities. It's just kind of weird how it all plays out. But the bottom line is, sometimes you might need a role or a capability that is not there in WordPress. So he kind of wrote about a plugin called Role Manager Plugin, which allows you to change the capabilities that each role has, and you can also create brand new user roles and new capabilities as well, and then assign those. So I was wondering, you know, has anybody run into the issue of, you know, assigning user roles to folks who have registered on your blog, or, you know, what's your guys' thoughts on the actual user role system in WordPress as it stands now?
Yes, and this is one of the things that I did. Right when that post came out, it was actually really well-timed. It was really funny, because I was just working on adding someone else to ComHacker to edit my posts, you know, flesh them out a bit more, but I didn't want to give them the power to publish them or to delete anything. I have that plugin on ComHacker so that people can, or not people, but, you know, specific people that I assign them to, they can add stuff, but they can't publish and they can't delete. And that's it.
And so did you actually use the plugin to create some roles, and it worked out well for you?
Yeah, where it was a little tough getting it to actually understand what I had there, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know that other content management solutions out there, you know, such as Joomla, actually have a way to kind of assign roles to users in the database. And, you know, I think as it stands right now, I think the roles and capabilities of users in WordPress leaves a lot to be desired. You know, I think it'd be a lot better if maybe they, you know, had those as defaults, but actually had this role manager plugin kind of integrated into the core so people could create their own for their own situations. But, you know, maybe it's better left to be in a plugin. That's always a debate, whether it should be a plugin, whether it should be core. But, you know, if the majority out there speaks up, they're going to do what the majority says. You know, it's just that's
actually,
how it works.
Sorry. There's actually a collaborative project manager that I'm using right now called clockingit.com. They actually allow you to set up roles on the fly. Like, as soon as you add a user, you can tell it what they can and cannot do right then and there. I mean, that would be cool, you know, just not have any default roles. Just say, okay, I want to do this, 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 and if I want to save it as a specific role, then I can.
You know what's funny about that is that they were thinking about getting rid of the capability and just having roles.
Wow.
What was the reasoning behind that? What purpose would that have solved?
Right now, the roles is a serialized array or object inside of the WP options table. That is a really big pain to search, and so they want to search people who have this role, this capability. They cannot do that. I mean, they can do it. It just takes longer than if they had a separate entity for the roles. And if you're going to do that, you can simplify it a lot easier just having roles and saying, okay, this person can do this. Because, I mean, the second thing is that not many people have custom, like, capabilities. They don't separate capabilities and say, this person can only do this. And if there were a lot of those, they can just create a new role that does that.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, that's something that, you know, you can do in a lot of other things. And I don't see why anyone would even want to search by what person has what role. I mean, I don't see why that even matters, really.
I had the same... Yeah, okay. I agreed with you, and then they came back and said certain things that made sense. But it's a whole discussion on a track ticket, which I don't have on hand. But there's some history to what you guys are talking about. And it's funny because they were also talking about adding the role manager's plugin, and that was shut down, like Jeff said. I mean, it's just not something that not enough people desire inside of WordPress at the moment.
True, because a lot of people are mostly just blogging on their own.
Yeah.
Well, that was that's interesting to see. So if anybody out there is running into problems, I mean, this is especially useful on multi-author blogs, once again. If you want them to have certain capabilities that the current role and capability manager does not have in WordPress, you can use that plugin and, you know, take it from there. But
hey, Jeffrey,
What?
Just one more thing, sorry. I ran into this thing when I was running a group project on my blog, and everybody had author roles as default, okay? And whenever they wanted to use a class attribute, they couldn't because the HTML was filtered out. Now,
Actually, that is that HTML problem is exactly the reason why the role manager plays a good role, because if you let me look at here. He actually found out that I had the same problem on WP Candy when I was guest writing for him, is when I would try to embed a YouTube video, it was being stripped out because I didn't have the necessary privileges. But if he would have gave me the next user role up, I would have had too many privileges.
Yeah, you would have been editor. So, you know, what can you do? I mean, you can't add default roles using WordPress as is.
You can also use a plugin called Raw HTML, and that would basically give everyone the ability to insert any HTML.
Raw HTML?
Yes.
Sometimes you don't want to do that.
You don't trust your authors, but if you don't trust your authors, then you're going to have them on there anyway.
Yeah, if Jeff was blogging for me, I would knock him down to the lowest privileges available, but yeah.
All right. You know, we made it 42 minutes into the show with no bashing of each other, and now it's on.
Yeah.
Shall we take Runify out back and beat him to death, or is that
let's wait till the after show. That way there's less witnesses.
Okay.
Actually, there's probably more, according to Shifter.
Oh, what? You got to mention them every show. You know, I think you're getting paid by them, honestly. But you know,
I'm getting paid to say fuck Chester on the air. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, now why did you do? All right, I'm gonna have to bleep that out. But I wanted to mention real quick. I came across this tool called WordPress Template Tag Lookup Tool, which was created by it's on Theme Labs or ThemeLab.com. And I've passed it around here into the chat room, and some of the people we have in here, like Bata and Nathan Rice and Ronald, you know, plugin authors and template developers, they've told me that it's kind of worthless. I'm not sure why.
Jeff, you can go to the page and do a Firefox search and go, okay, here's the function. All right, that's it.
Okay, yeah, okay, I understand that point, and, you know, the first place I look for function stuff is the codex, you know, obviously.
That
but
is
I just
terrible.
Thought it was, I just thought it was cool here that it had instant search. You just type in a function, and boom, it's right there.
You know,
other
to be
than
honest,
that, I guess it's,
To be honest, a useful service would be an entire WordPress function search, and when you type in that function, it would show every single place that calls that function. I think that would be invaluable, personally.
You need to get on the XREF. I think I have a link.
So, that was pretty quick. We went over that pretty quick. So, up next is... there is a post. I haven't been able to write about it yet, but I do know it's been released. But it's a plugin called Better Tags Manager, which was written by Keith. How would you say his last name? D'Souza.
Oh, we got to have a mispronunciation at least once in the show.
Yeah, well, yeah, but so Keith D'Souza. has written a plugin called Better Tags Manager, and Keith decided to completely remove categories from his blog, and now he just uses tags, so visitors can search for a post using his tag cloud. But the plugin lets you edit the tags of your post more easily compared with the tag manager currently in WordPress 2.5, and more specifically, it allows you to edit the tags of posts from the main post area. You don't have to go into each post individually to edit the tags.
Nice.
There is an what's that?
Sorry, just said nice.
Oh,
that is pretty awesome.
Okay. Yeah, there's an option to tag all posts within the same keyword. However, in Kevin's opinion, the one who wrote an article about this on Blogging Tips, said that it kind of defeats the point of using tags in the first place. Tags, keywords, kind of the same thing if you ask me, but... it's called Better Tags Manager. Keith released it. I'm sure it'll be in the plugin release post here tonight on WebLawToolsCollection.com. So if you don't enjoy the current method of managing tags in WordPress 2.5 backend, maybe we should give this one a try. And have any of you guys actually dove into the tag manager, maybe to see what you've been able to locate? Because remember that issue I had last time I talked about where I saw a number of blank tags that were in my database?
Is that when you reported mine on WordPress, Jeff?
No, I that's when I found them, but I believe I kind of explained how I believe all those blank tags were in there, because back in WordPress 2.3 days, when you would put tags and use commas, depending on the last word or the comma placement, it would rearrange the tags in alphabetical order, and sometimes it would put a comma in the very beginning of the tag field, and it would be a blank tag. And when I went into my tag manager, I saw about 20 pages worth of blank tags from all the times I had saved the tags there. So I've actually gone in and deleted those from the database, but I wouldn't have known about those if it wasn't for the tag manager.
Well, also there was a bug where when it auto-saved, it would save the tags. So if you had put a comma right when it saved, it would insert a blank tag. Also, it would insert like half-written tags that you weren't finished with yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Yeah, I don't know what was going on there, but I was able to go in there, locate those tags, and delete them. So now all those blank tags are gone. But, I wanted to kind of highlight the some of the stuff that's been posted on the WordPress Development Prologue. And here's a couple of things that have been going on in terms of development for WordPress 2.6. Updated jQuery and jQuery UI to the latest from the jQuery trunk. wp-config.php can now be located one level up from the rest of your WP install if you want to move it out of your doc root. I think that's something a lot of people enjoy. MDAWAFFE added a style loader to complement the script loader. Galleries are now drag and drop sortable thanks to Aaron Campbell. Oh, that'll be nice. WordPress.com style theme preview is in the trunk for WordPress.org. The new Press This bookmarklet is coming along in trunk. I've been meaning to download a trunk install of WordPress to give that a look through. It'll be very interesting to see how that looks. Default avatar options are in the trunk, courtesy of Viper 007 Bond. And I believe those default avatar options are going to be around, you know, the new things called Wavatars, Identicons, and Gravatars. What else? There's a couple of other different things in here, but what about you, Jacob, or anybody else? Have you guys been watching the development progress of 2.6? Is there anything that screams out, great? Is there a feature in there that you've been wanting to use for a long time now that's coming along down the pike?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Everyone seems so enthused about 2.6 because, like, oh, geez, we finally got 2.5 working on our server. Now we're going to have to deal with all these other issues.
Tell me about it.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Oh, crap. 2.5. Okay. 2.5.1.
Yeah.
Askument 2.1.4 would break the add comment. And so you couldn't add a comment with those two versions. But 2.1.5 fixed it. And so for the longest time, I was like, holy crap, it doesn't work. And then I was figuring, okay, is it because I upgraded the site right when I was moving it. And so that you don't do anyway, which I did, which I had to whip myself a couple times to punch myself for doing so. But afterwards, every time I upgrade that site, I would rather be whipped than have to go through fixing everything. And plus it uses this plugin that, it gradually fixes the bugs. it's like, so this latest version, it finally fixed the bug where people can unsubscribe and actually work and actually unsubscribe themselves. And so I thought that was an improvement.
Recently I had an issue where now my media uploader doesn't work. I have to upload through FTP and just manually type in the address of where it is because my media uploader does not work.
And did that break after 2.5?
It broke when I went from I changed ComHacker from a parched domain to an add-on domain. So basically, I just backed everything up and just treated it like an upgrade, and then uninstalled my domain, reinstalled my domain name, and then re-uploaded. And that's when it broke.
Well, I know there's been other people having issues with the media uploader, and it looks like a lot of people have had issues with the like a mod rewrite rules, or there's some things. If you go to the WordPress.org forums, there should be a sticky topic that has a list of solutions for those having problems, and there is some code that you can try pasting into your .htaccess file to see if that works.
Oh, wonderful. I also have an issue where PodPress is now broken, too. I broke it. I broke ComHacker. It snapped. And I still haven't gotten my blog rollback, but I don't really care at this point.
But I know Ryan has called in, and I think he had a feature that he's looking forward to. And you said, what was it, post-revisions?
Yeah, post-revisions should be coming in 2.6.
And you might want to, tell us how it works or why you're looking forward to it. It seems to me like it's going to be great for those Mothy author blogs once again.
Have you used Wikipedia?
Okay.
Personally, no.
Revised
okay.
By on such and such date, that kind of stuff.
If you had used Wikipedia, you would know what he was talking about. Not to sound mean, but...
Well, I mean, I've seen the post by MWF, and it looks like it highlights different colors. One color means it's older. I think another color means it's newer. I think it's like a pinkish and greenish color. And, you know, it's interesting you mention Wiki, because it was either in the show last week in the interview with Matt, or it was on a different show. He thinks that with post-revisions coming into WordPress, and maybe with a few other things, that they might be able to switch the codex over from MediaWiki into WordPress.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
That might probably be a terrible idea.
Well, you think so? Why would that be?
Because the MediaWiki has been around for as long as WordPress. So that's their thing. That's what they do. It's like, you know, if they made a blog out of MediaWiki, it would suck. It'd be just terrible, god-awful. You would not use it. And so if they made, you know, a MediaWiki clone with WordPress, it would probably be as good as BBPress.
You just sound so awesomely sweet right now. I mean, it's just the epitome of positivity.
Well, at least for the monthly author blogs and for the wiki setup, I don't know. That would be interesting to see MediaWiki go move back into WordPress. I don't know. You know, what would happen there if, you know, what Jacob said would become a reality? I think it'd be interesting, but at least for those with multi-author blogs, the post-revisions are probably going to be a very welcome feature.
I take it back. It might just, like, totally own MediaWiki and, like, give them a run for the money.
way to reverse your standards there, but... Yeah, you know,
but I'm saying
maybe you might be right. We'll have to find out. I don't think WordPress is even with 2.6. I don't think they'll be ready for wiki standards yet. But as a framework, you know, to be used as a wiki, I think that'll come later. But I think they're going in the right direction if you wanted to use it as a wiki.
Well, they're going into the direction of core. A project that takes the core of all of their projects and make it a separate project where they when a bug goes into WordPress, instead of like having to port that to other projects manually, which is a huge task, they would just update one repository, which would fix all of the projects. But the code is... I'm not going to talk about the code. I'm sorry. I have no opinion whatsoever. at the moment.
You know, for everyone that's here, did out of all of you guys and gals that are here tonight, how many of you either listened to it live or downloaded and listened to the recorded version of my interview with Matt Mullenweg last week?
I haven't gotten
to it. I like the way that Matt Mullenweg can just pull the plug on any interview. That's the way I like it.
You know, it took you for ages to come up with that one.
You probably, like, woke up one day. It's like, oh, damn, I have to say that.
And I said it twice, damn it.
You said it twice, what? Yes.
Well, you know, I was just kind of wondering if there was anything in that interview that kind of struck out at you as maybe ooh or ah, and, you know, like, oh... Well, so
like,
that's what they're doing, or that's where they're going.
This is not exactly the worst interview ever, but it's come close second.
Oh, for God's sake.
The huge break
in the
beginning.
No way.
I think Andy is a very good speaker.
Yeah, if he would have been on, if I would have known about that, I would have had a list of questions for him, but I kind of was off the cuff. That was a nice surprise, though. You know, thank goodness I had a couple of people chimed in here, and it was a packed house asking questions there. Was there anything, as far as I'm concerned, you know, just the whole interview was pretty cool for me. It was pretty interesting to learn about the trademark usage and his thoughts on it, plus the WordMark logo and things of that nature, but... hopefully I get him on the show, and thanks to Laurel, I do have a list of people to contact in order to bring on the show. I think next week I'm going to have Michael Castilla and Dan Philbin of WP Candy on the show. So I think I'll be doing an interview with them. Not sure how that's going to turn out. We'll have to, everybody will have to show up, be part of the show and see. But I think that's what the plan is going to be for next week, me interviewing the team over at WP Candy. And other than that, I'm just going to open up the floor for last words because we're kind of hitting the hour mark here. And does anybody have anything to say before we go?
WordPress rocks.
Jeff Jordan sucks.
You know, come on.
I don't know. I mean, WordPress.
This show is sponsored by Movable Type.
Now, wait a minute. That's being recorded.
It's not really.
No.
You know, the only consolation is that probably no one's going to listen to this podcast since it's a in between, like, a good podcast and probably a another good podcast. And so you're like, you have in between a sandwich of a of you know, like, whatever podcast, which
hey, Jacob,
is probably not going to.
Jacob.
Here comes the having your happiness again.
Stop embellishing and get to the point, all right?
Now, Nathan Rice is kind of, he's asking me, are you going to talk about the Tadlock post? And I'm not, are you talking about the one that, about the plugin he released, Get the Image post? Or, I don't, it's Nathan, if I could bring, can I bring you on the air? Is it all right if I unmute you and you kind of, you bring it up or you talk about it? All right, he's telling me to hang on here. Justin Tadlock. I guess he made a post. He's going to post it here in the chat room, and we want to know what he's talking about.
What the hell is that?
And let's see here. He's made a post about loading JavaScript libraries and WordPress plugins with WP something script.
In QScript.
Well,
it's it's a way, like, say, for example, each theme author, each plugin author wants to add a specific JavaScript file, like prototype or jQuery. You can use WP and QScript to say, okay, I want this script to load, and here's where I want it to load in a priority base. So it only loads at one time, and make sure that it loads before your script if you need it to.
So if someone, I guess this would be useful for those people who package a custom jQuery with their plugin, and they could actually call for theirs to override the priority of others?
That's correct. Like, say, for example, like Ajax at a comment, I need jQuery to be installed. I need the Sigbox script to be installed. I also need the Ajax response script to be installed. I'll use WP and QScript to say, okay, here's my script I want to load, and here's the script I need to load before that.
Ah.
Ah, that's interesting.
I understand that.
Yeah, I understand that too.
I'm a non-developing geek here, okay? If I can follow that, just about anybody can. Although the installation might be a totally different story.
So, here's the post. Believe it or not, we just discussed a post that was the wrong link. So, that was interesting, but... Justin Tadlock wrote a post called Screw the Premium Theme Market. So that's a catchy title. And, I wish I had time to go over this right now, but I wish I could bring Nathan Rice on the air to kind of give us an overview as to what he came up with it. Nathan, so we won't be able to get on the air, but that's interesting. I'm probably going to say this. Maybe we could talk about this next week. Because it certainly seems interesting. Sick and tired, pay for themes. Right here in the first post he says, what does he say? I was just there and... here it says, Ian Stewart got it right when he said the premium WordPress theme phenomenon has approximately 1 year left before collapsing entirely. in this post-future of premium work. You know what? We're just going to – I'm going to read this. Everybody else will read it, and let's bring it up for discussion next week. Until then, I want to thank Ryan for stopping by and being part of the show tonight. Both of them, Ryan Hellier and Ryan McHugh from Australia, Ronald Hurica from RAProject.com, Patricia Mayo, thank you for stopping by and coming on to the show again. I want to thank Nathan Rice, Patat Dunbar, Jacob Santos for calling in, being part of the show, and for everybody who chimed in here at the chat room. James, thanks for stopping by, being part of the show. Charles and a number of guests stopped by. But that's pretty much going to conclude this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. If you've got any feedback, just head on over to jeffro2pt0.com. Click on the contact link. The rest is self-explanatory. And as I said before, I believe next week I'm going to be interviewing the team of WP Candy. And until then, that's going to wrap it up, and I'll see you next weekend. Have a good one, everybody.